Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde îmi plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, am adus aici că țara asta va.
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although this episode is not live, it's so fresh it just could be. We are recording this at a later time because I have a pre-existing engagement with my daughters, a picnic basket, and apparently 95 degree heat. The heat has finally come to Wisconsin. Everyone's boiling, and me being a husky fellow, without lack of testosterone, thus hairy, it makes for a not fun day. So my wife's got extra laundry to do because I keep changing shirts. I keep sweating through them. But unlike some pastors that you'll find on YouTube, I don't buy Gucci to sweat through. I like my George. Yes, Walmart shirts for me. Anyway. Welcome to the program. It's been an interesting week. Wow. One tweet. That's all it took. It took one tweet to drive the Democrat Party absolutely nut burger again. And before we get into it, before we talk about it, because we're going to have to, and you know what? I don't care where you stand. He was right. If you don't like it, if you hate this country, as they would say in California, por favor, feel free to go. But I want you to close your eyes and imagine something with me. You are looking upon a scrawny, hook-nosed girl with a broken flip-flop hanging off one foot, speaking to her brother in what might be considered a barrio in Mogadishu. Yes, that's right, Somalia. And she is speaking to her brother And she says to him, "Brother, one day I will marry you, brother. And we will go to America. And I will do my best to make America another Somalia." And that's pretty much Ilhan Omar. Because, you know, I'm sorry, you lose the moral high ground when you marry your own brother to try to skirt the system. You lose the moral high ground when you come to this country, and unlike the country you come from, unlike Somalia, unlike Mogadishu, nobody is there with a, I don't know, what a cricket bat. You know, those flat things. Nobody's there with a cricket bat ready to knock your teeth out the moment you say anything or take off your veil. But see, I'm glad you can be brave in America. I'm glad you can poo-poo everything about this country. I'm glad you can disregard all the people that shed blood and died to keep the freedoms this country has. I'm glad you can do all that here, Madam Ilhan. Why do you not try to do it in Mogadishu? Take your husband, brother, and try to do it in Mogadishu. See, this is what irks me. It's the same kind of sentiment I have about people who pick on Christianity and Christians, because they know they're in no danger. They can say the most horrid, vile things about Christians. They can say the most horrid, vile things about Christianity, and they know that nobody's going to come try to decapitate them or burn them alive in a cage, because we are not Islam. I am sorry, Madam Ilhan, we are not Islam. And because we are not Islam, we will not attempt to kill you. But, again, if you had any doubts about Donald Trump's trolling abilities, this pretty much sealed the deal. The man is the master troll. Everybody has to learn from this guy. One tweet. If you do not like it here, go back. Fix it where you come from. And what is so wrong with that? If everything about America is repulsive to you, if the history of this nation is a damnable heresy to you, if being here causes you physical pain, why do you not go back? I am sure Somalia Mogadishu will accept you with open arms. And then you can try to wax poetic or whatever it was you're trying to do. So now you have the four. They call themselves the squad. They have one thing in common. Ha-ha. Hate for this country. And you know what? Donald Trump was just brave enough to point it out. I'm sorry. It may have been a little vulgar. It may have been a little, you know, crude. But it was the truth. If you do not like it, you are free to leave. It's as simple as that. Nobody's keeping you here. Nobody's forcing you to take $200,000 in taxpayer money to be a member of Congress so that you can tell your constituents they're all just floating turds on the river of life. Because they were born in America, you oppressive people. And then you have Kamala Harris, Willie Brown's plaything for God knows how many years, so that you can climb up, you know, meritocracy, yay, yay. If you don't know Willie Brown and Kamala Harris, Google it. I'm not going to spoon feed you. These are horrendous people that did horrendous thing all of their lives, that now think they're superior to you, that now think they're morally superior, intellectually superior, and you have this clown going, "Hey, writing a check is not enough for reparations." What would you have us do, Kamala? What would you have us do? Would you like us to all come down to the Capitol building and flog ourselves bloody? I never had a slave. My grandpa never had a slave. My great-grandpa never had a slave. What's this nonsense about reparations? I'm sorry if I seem a little miffed, but apparently nobody's talking about these things. They're letting these people run off at the mouth, and I guarantee you there's enough lunatics out there going, bravo, bravo, oh, what I've been longing to hear all this time. By the way, just as an aside, before we get into other things, because there's always other things. The world is full of problems. The nation is full of problems. And there are a handful of people trying to remedy these problems, and by golly, the forces of hell have ratcheted up against them. Just everything from every corner, lawsuits and judges making law just offhand, just incredible things going on. But what I did want to revert to, what I wanted to discuss, if only momentarily, and if you haven't seen this video, it will open your eyes as to who the opposition is. It will open your eyes as to who the left is. There was a protest at an ICE facility in Colorado a couple days ago where they, you know, took down the American flag and raised the Mexican flag, you know, little things like that. But somebody filmed an altercation between a reporter, I guess a conservative reporter, and like three people. And let me describe these people to you. Because you need to understand, this is who the battle is against. It's not against normal taxpaying citizens. Those of us that are normal and taxpaying are sweating our hinies off trying to finish 8 hours worth of work so we could get paid. We're not busy protesting ICE facilities, but there were three people that stood out. There was one girl that looks like she'd been off her medication for a little while. Medication that by all accounts and all evidence seemed mandatory and necessary. She was screaming and punching air and waving her hands and frothing at the mouth. There was a young man who seemed to be wearing pajama bottoms, as soft as, well, let's just call it butter in the noonday sun, who likely hadn't been out of his mom's basement for a good 6 months, who was saying very profane things about the military because I guarantee you he thought that by seeming manly, he might just get to first base with the crazy girl. If I had to pick the order in which these people should get punched in the mouth, he would have been first. She would have been second. And if you haven't seen this video, you have to find it. In the background, there's a guy that looked like Larry from the Three Stooges wearing a dress. I kid you not. He was wearing a dress. And this is the left. This is the diversity of which Nancy Pelosi continues to spout. Diversity is our strength. If this is the diversity you're coming with, keep it. I'm good. I like my wholesome neighborhood with wholesome families who have family values. I like the fact that I can walk outside on my porch, go get my mail from my mailbox, and not run the risk of seeing a man wearing a dress looking like Larry from the Three Stooges. I realize these are little things to some, but they're important to me. So now there's a full-blown battle, at least in Congress, as to whether to start impeachment proceedings. This is going to be hilarious. Al Green, famous Al Green, the man, who seems like he's short a thought every time he opens his mouth, has already started impeachment proceedings. If I don't see how Donald Trump doesn't get Reagan numbers next election. I really don't. I've thought this through. Unless something's going on that I'm not seeing, I don't see how he doesn't get Ronald Reagan numbers. Because hopefully the vast majority in this country still have some semblance of normalcy. And those people are looking what's coming out of the mouths of the squad, if you will, talking about people upholding U.S. law as being nothing more than heartless individuals who run concentration camps? Was that the last thing? But see, what they're beginning to realize, and I think it's frightening them, is that most people have become immune to the name-calling. I mean, unless, you know, you've got a septum ring and ear gauges and you have pink hair and you've got a few piercings along your eyelids or something, you're not overly sensitive to begin with. That old adage that was taught to you when you were yay young about sticks and stones breaking your bones but words never hurting you, you took that to heart. And as is the case with most things that the other side does, they've jumped the shark to such an extent where when people hear words like racist or Nazi or bigot or homophobe, it's like water off a duck's back. It does not affect people anymore because people see that a certain segment of the population, and yes, even certain congressional members, of which Mrs. Ilhan Omar of Mogadishu, Somalia, is one, keep calling law-abiding American citizens Nazis and keeps calling them racist. And they're sitting there going, oh, hold on, I just finished an eight-hour shift with an extra 4 of overtime because they pay so good and they're shorthanded. I went and took my black friend Russ and my Asian friend Chow to lunch. Oh my, you named an Asian Chow? That's racist. No, that's, you know, either Chow or Ming or something. I didn't name him. His mama did. And you're sitting there going, how exactly am I racist here? I'm racist because I'm not willing to sign over the deed to my home and everything I possessed and go and light myself on fire on the congressional steps as penance for somebody having had slaves in this country at some point? Is that why I'm racist? Am I racist because I work hard so my kids could have a better life growing up than I did? Does that make me a racist? What exactly makes you a racist in the eyes of these people? Because I'm sick and tired of hearing that term thrown around. Racist? You're a racist. Why? I don't judge anybody based on race. I judge them based on action. If you come to this country with the hope of assimilating, if you do it legally through the proper channels, God bless, welcome to America. But if you come from Mogadishu, knowing what you left behind in Mogadishu, knowing the hellhole that Somalia is, you come to this country embraces you with open arms, and then you start flinging feces at it as though it were your mortal enemy. Well, allow me to be a wee bit frustrated. And that was the only sentiment that Donald Trump was trying to put forth. If you don't like it here, feel free to leave. Racist! But see, it doesn't stick anymore. They're out. Have you ever seen those movies, you know, the westerns, where the guy just keeps shooting and shooting, and then he runs out of bullets, and then he just, you know, just dry fires another 4 or 5 times from adrenaline? That's pretty much what's happening to the Democrat Party right now. They're just dry firing. There's nothing left. You have nothing left. Absolutely nada. Zip, zilch. It's not that they're not trying. It's not that they're not doing their best to try to find something else. But Russia's dead. Collusion's dead. Racism's dead. Look, okay, let me put it this way. If Dr. Ben Carson had a different temperament, I would have been all in for him as president, even before like Ted Cruz. I love Ben Carson. I think he is a brilliant man. I think he's a decent man. But to have a president with that temperament, he would have gotten eaten by the wolves. They would have made mincemeat of him within the first 3 weeks. He's just so mild-mannered. But even he came out, and he's the head of HUD at this point, and he's like, Donald Trump's not racist. And of course, you know, right now, Ben Carson, being the successful neurosurgeon that he was, a man who came up from absolutely nothing, living in the ghetto and made something of himself as an Uncle Tom and a traitor to his race and all this other stuff. Because, see, unless you're a Democrat, first of all, and you're sort of gangsta, you're not real black. And you're sitting there, why do everybody that we tell people to look up to, why do they all act like thugs? Even Reverend Al, who they've held up as a paragon of virtue, Al Sharpton should be in prison. Al Sharpton hasn't paid his taxes since he was Fat Al. And yet, anytime anyone mentions it, look, you can't cry racism anytime anybody calls you out on your nonsense. You can't run to racism. Everybody says that, hey, you're a bigot. Or anybody asks, why do you hate Jews? Why do you get the warm and cuddlies when you think about the Holocaust? Because that's what the other one said, or one of the other ones, Tlaib. She gets all warm and cozy when she thinks about the Holocaust. Because, yes, that's a natural human reaction. When you think about 6 million people meeting their end in gas chambers and being starved to death, warm and fuzzy. That's what I think about. And nobody ever called these people on it until the bull in the china shop came along. And he woke up one morning and he goes, hey, it's been quiet these past 12 hours. Let me take this here stick and smack the hornet's nest. Let's see what comes of it. Because at this point, I'm sorry to break the news to the Democrat Party, but Donald Trump's not losing any voters. Whoever voted for him in 2016 is going to show up in 2020, and I think he might well add another 2 to 3 million people. 6 million jobs have been created since he took office. Let's say 3 million of those people, you know, are self-hating, self-sabotaging. They even though now they can afford to, you know, pay rent and stuff, they still hate the man. But I guarantee you, maybe half, maybe more, so 3 million odd people who were on the fence about him, who didn't vote for him, who went, you know, He says certain things. I don't think he's going to do anything. He's just going to be another politician. Now that they have jobs, now that they see their communities, you know, are being invested in, now that the underprivileged have a shot at going to college, you don't think at least half these people that have benefited over the last 4 years are going to vote for him? So, yes, I think he's going to have Reagan-esque numbers. It's not going to be 49 states because it's never going to be. Again, New York and California are baked in the cake. Illinois, same thing. But guarantee you, the popular vote is going to go his way this time, and it's going to be something to watch these people just break down all over again. I don't know how you can live in misery, just constant apathy and misery for 3 years running, man. Because that's what the other side's been doing. And we have glorified idiots whose parents bought their way into Ivy League schools, who think that because their parents bought their way into an Ivy League school, they're smarter than the average bear, who condescend to the American people every single night without fail. I'm sorry, but if you think that Cuomo character has an IQ above 72, I don't know how to help you. What is it, Chris Cuomo? Him and Don the homosexual lemonhead? The two bright pillars of CNN with Anderson Scooper, you know, just crunched in the middle somewhere? Chris Cuomo is a meathead. The man can't put two sentences together without reading a prompter. Don't you tell me he got into Yale on merit. Don't you tell me he graduated on merit. His daddy was the governor. His daddy made a phone call. And Chris got into Yale. It's coming out slowly but surely. It's oozing out sort of like pus out of a sore. What these people have been up to over the last 30 years. People of means buying their kids way into colleges so they can graduate 4 years later dumber than they were when they went in, having learned nothing. But hey, I got a degree from an Ivy League school. You need to respect me. My name is Chris Cuomo and this is CNN. You need to respect me because I have a diploma from an Ivy League school. No, respect is earned. You can show me 100 pieces of paper stapled to a wall, and it will not stir my respect receptors 1 ounce. Show me a human being doing something decent when they don't know that someone else is watching, and they have my utmost respect. Because this is the society we're living in right now. Everything that we do has to be seen and applauded and valued and praised by other people. Otherwise, why do it? We've taken that mindset of don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing and substituted it for Instagram and what else is it? I don't Instagram. I don't have a whatever account. The only thing I have is Facebook, and the only thing I use it for is to upload my rants once in a while that I write out. That's it. So, but it's gotten so rare to see a human being human to another person, even when no one else is watching, that I found myself over the last few months looking for it. And it's like a little thing. Today I was at the supermarket, and as I was walking through the parking lot to get to the door, there was a lady in a wheelchair. She was in a motorized wheelchair. And a gentleman went and opened the door for her and let her go through. And it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't as though he donated a kidney. But just the fact that he opened the door for her, when I know that under 25s, at least 70% would walk in and let the door bang on the old woman's legs, just because he held the door, he earned my respect. See, these people are going to scream, they're going to holler, they're going to demand respect. And the average citizen is going to grow more and more disillusioned with them because they have to. Look, there's the things you hear said, then there's the things that you see with your own eyes. And right now, they've come to the point where they insist that you shouldn't believe your lying eyes, because that would be racist. No, sir, please, please, don't believe what you are seeing. Believe what we are telling you. It does not matter that this administration has helped more black people out of poverty than any other in the history of America, including their hero and idol, Barack Hussein Obama. It does not matter that policies have been implemented to help the struggling inner cities. It does not matter that there are plenty of African Americans, because if I say black, apparently I'm racist now, African Americans in this administration. None of this matters. Believe what we are telling you. Donald Trump is racist. I have a diploma from Yale. I think he's racist too. This is Chris Cuomo and this is CNN. There you go. That's pretty much in a nutshell the last, week or so. And to me, nowadays, because, look, there's a lot of things that people heard Donald Trump saying. And when they heard him saying it, they scratched their heads and, you know, palmed their faces and go, that's just a conspiracy theory. One of the conspiracy theories is that much of the mainstream media nowadays is what some might call fake news. Now, when he first started talking about it, he was being poo-pooed left and right. But, as has been the case with much of what this man has said, give it a little while and you realize, hey, he was kind of right. Because nowadays, I don't look at what the mainstream media is trying to push as the narrative or as the news. The first thing I look at is what they're trying to not talk about. Just think on that a minute. Let that sink in. The way I know something is of import, the way I know that something has significance, is if CNN and MSNBC wholly chooses to avoid it, circumvent it, obfuscate, or otherwise not directly discuss it. And the two things that they've been going out of their way to avoid, they've been, oh man, if I could be that limber, I'd be in a Cirque du Soleil show. They've been twisting themselves into a pretzel like you wouldn't believe. Not to discuss two very significant things. First, a pederast pedophile rapist named Jeffrey Epstein, who up until, you know, his arrest, was beloved of the Democrat Party because he was a large donor. Why, William Jefferson Clinton himself, the saxophonist, if you will. He was known to have flown to Mr. Epstein's private island a private island which had one specific purpose, and it was not solitude, but rather engaging in intercourse and relations with minors. He flew to that place no less than 26 times. 26. Even if you're slow, even if you're a good old Billy boy, if you were not engaging in said pederasty, if you were not engaging in said conduct with minors, you probably would have gotten a clue, second trip in, maybe. I'll give them the first trip. I'll say, hey, you know, first trip, you're there, it's new, you're on a private island, he offers you something to drink. Would you like to have a little fun? You think, hey, it's a special occasion, his birthday. You say no, you get on the plane, you fly back home. But if it happens a second time, it's called a pattern. If it happens 26 times, you got a problem. I'm sorry, Mr. President William Jefferson Clinton, you got a problem. Especially when said saxophonist would leave his security detail behind. No, boys, no need to come protect me on the private island. I got it from here. Now, I'm assuming that at some point, Mr. Epstein will either spill the beans and start naming every lout, every politician, every dirty hedonist that's been to his island. And I would wager, if I were a betting man, that it wasn't magnanimity that was compelling Mr. Epstein to fly politicians and the such to his island. Somewhere, there's a 99% chance that there are video recordings of some very powerful people doing some very disturbing things or some very minor children. I'm sorry, it's no conspiracy theory. That's what they called it 5 years ago when they first tried to indict this monster, and he got off. Right now, it's not conspiracy theory. This is happening. He's under arrest. They found a bunch of stuff in his house. $77 million mansion, by the way. There's rooms on that island that they can't open yet. So at some point, I'm assuming that very powerful people will see themselves in high def in certain compromising positions. If Mr. Epstein doesn't, you know, commit suicide by shooting himself in the back of the head three times or something. And it has the Democrat Party panicking. Because I know. Oh, Republicans voted for Trump. You can't say anything about morality anymore. Yes, I can. Because you're pedophiles. I'm sorry. You can't browbeat me or shame me into silence. I'm not a middle-aged white suburbanite woman. I don't blush like that, kid. These people should be in prison for a very long time. And right now they're scrambling because they know what they've done. They know their dirty deeds. There's probably an entire library of William Jefferson Clinton, the saxophonist and former president. Why do you think they've been so quiet? So understand who these people are the next time you feel compelled to acknowledge the fact that yes, he is imperfect. We have an imperfect president, and sometimes he says things that are really crude. Well, you know what? All things being equal, I'd rather have somebody say crude things than systematically abuse minors for decades. I'm sorry, it's just me. You can have a different opinion if you want, but it's just me. I would rather have somebody that says things a little awkwardly and unrefined than somebody whose spouse flew to Rape Island or to Pedophile Island, whichever name you want to give it, 26 times. And the media went out of its way to avoid talking about the saxophonist, William Jefferson Clinton, flying to Rape Island 26 times, but did everything they could to try to connect Jeff Epstein to Donald Trump. And the only thing that came out was that Donald Trump had Jeffrey Epstein barred from all of his properties when he was accused of inappropriately attempting to touch an employee's daughter. Think on that. Well, the rich get away with everything. Yeah, it didn't matter to Donald Trump. Right was right. Jeff Epstein was accused of attempting to touch an underage girl, one of his employees' daughters, inappropriately on one of his properties, and he was banned, barred for life from all Trump properties. So before we get on the moral high horses and ride into the sunset, again, words over actions. It's very, very important to see the actions of a man. Because words at this point, especially from the mouths of politicians, are utterly meaningless. Just look at it's still 24, isn't it? What was it, that Save the Planet guy, the billionaire, entered the race the day that the genius himself, Swalwell the gun grabber, decided that, well, being under 1% is no way to live. So he dropped out of the race. Another story that you might not have heard of from the mass media because it didn't fit the narrative. And if it would have fit the narrative, it would have been on blast on every single channel. Was that in the self-same ICE facility in Colorado, I believe, where Larry from the Three Stooges wearing a dress, the crazy chick, and, you know, the beta boy, were protesting, an elderly gentleman who saw himself as the savior of the immigrant people tried to storm the facility with an AR-15 that he built himself and some firebombs. He was summarily shot by the police. The police did their job, and the man died. Now, the way the media has framed this, even though he had a manifesto, it's not hard to find, as the kids like to say, look it up. Look, just look it up. The old guy had a manifesto. And apparently, he believed that these United States of America were running concentration camps. His words. And I would like you to hearken a few weeks back and remember who else referred to these United States as running concentration camps. Because he used the term verbatim. Well, none other than the third iteration of the squad, the Rhodes Scholar herself, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It is she who insisted that these United States were running concentration camps, even though all they are is detaining facilities. Because you cannot come into this country and just expect to walk across the border without being held and without people finding out who you are. I'm sorry. But this old guy took it upon himself to liberate those that were about to die in the concentration camps. And he got, you know, his head blown off as recompense. Now, the protesters in Colorado have taken to calling this old lunatic a martyr. He was a martyr, and he died for the cause, and he was a martyr who died for the cause. I find that most disturbing of all, because when you start talking of people in terms of being martyrs, chances are very good that others will come along who will want to be remembered as martyrs. Chances are very good that more people will try to do violence to law-abiding citizens working as ICE agents whose only crime is having a federal job. Just you wait. It will happen. Because if you understand human mindset, if you understand the way human thought is processed, now the man is a hero. He's a martyr. He will be legendary and remembered, even though I guarantee you, I don't even know his name right now. 2 weeks from now, nobody will care. But to people like the boy in the pajama pants, who was being so aggressive trying to impress the crazy girl, that old loon is somebody to look up to. That old loon is somebody to idolize, and man, wouldn't it be great? I go out as a martyr and the crazy chick remembers me. She won't, by the way. But hey, you know, good luck. Now, as has been the case, how can you lose so much and not just walk away? Apparently, even after the latest volley of attacks, Trump has not lost support. I'm going to read this because this just came out. It's an article that just came out today, and I found it oddly hilarious because everybody's trying. Nancy Pelosi got ruled out of order because she called Trump a racist on the House floor. Do you understand how mental these people have gotten? And still, it's just consistently backfiring. Fewer voters believe President Trump is racist and more believe he's attacked as a racist only for political purposes, according to a poll taken after the fake news media launched a jihad to destroy the president over tweets aimed at the extremist Democrats known as the Squad. What about the Squawks? In a Rasmussen poll of 1,000 likely voters taken on Monday and Tuesday, a full day after Trump blasted the Squad, which is made up of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, originally of Mogadishu, Somalia, Ayan Presley, another bright bulb in a shattered bulb shop, and of course, everyone's favorite foul-mouthed Muslim, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. All the important numbers have moved Trump's way, the article says. To begin with, Trump's overall job approval rating moved a net 8 points in his direction since Monday, from 46 to 50% approval, and from 52% to 48% disapproval. Those who believe Trump is racist dropped from 50% in January of 2018 to 47% today. A plurality of 49% do not believe Trump is racist. Come on. He had a black girlfriend. There's pictures on the internet. The most interesting number comes from those who say Trump's opponents are accusing him of racism only for political gain. Since January of last year, that number surged from 43 to 49%. Another fascinating number that puts all of this into some context is how those accusing Trump of being a racist define racism. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Just because I disagree with your policies, just because I disagree with your worldview, just because I disagree with socialism, just because I disagree with your desire to make this a little Somalia where little hook-nosed children can hope to marry their brothers and scratch in the sand, it doesn't make me a racist. I don't hate you for your race. I despise your politics. That's all it is. Another fascinating number that puts all of this into some context is how those accusing Trump of being a racist define racism. I read that again so we won't lose, the thread of it. Incredibly, 32% of Democrat dummies believe it's racist for any white politician to criticize the political views of a politician of color. That is demented. Just listen to this again. This is where we are. 32% of Democrats believe it's racist for any white politician to criticize the political views of a politician of color. So Maxine Waters can stand there and encourage violence on anyone that disagrees with her. She can encourage that people who are just trying to eat dinner be harassed to the point that they'll have to leave. But you can't criticize her because she's a politician of color. And because you are attempting to criticize a politician of color, you are automatically racist. Do you understand how insane that is? Come on. Look, the normal people need to take a day off work and say something, I guess, because the crazies are getting all the press. They're getting all the headlines. And the only one that's still just jabbing at him, man, just endlessly, is Donald Trump. One of his latest tweets, "Now, I'm entitled to my opinion, and I just think they're left-wing cranks. They're the reason there are directions on a shampoo bottle, and we should ignore them." Oh, it's gloriously funny. But look, okay, this is the tweet. Just so you don't think I'm running cover. Oh, you're just defending him. No. In America, comma, if you hate our country, comma, you are free to leave. The simple fact of the matter is the four congresswomen think that America is wicked in its origins. They think that America is even more wicked now, that we're all racist and evil. They're entitled to their opinion. They're Americans. Now, I'm entitled to my opinion. And I just think they're left-wing cranks. It's just astounding, but they've got nothing else. What have they got? What have they got? And as far as the go back tweet, yeah. If this place is so horrible for you, you can always go back. You can always go back to Mexico. You can always go back to Somalia. I can always go back to Romania. If I think this place is worse than where I came from, then I have the freedom to return from whence I came. Not racist, just fact. So, this is where we are. And we're still, what, a year and 3 months out from the next elections. Can you imagine all the fun we're going to have in the next, what, 15 months? Because it's only going to get worse. They don't know how to stop. And every time they feel that they have a slight advantage, they just jump the shark altogether. There's no balance to these people. And hopefully, the average law-abiding citizen will continue to see these people act out. They'll continue to see them for the lunatics they are. And, you know, 2020 will be interesting. For now, I thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. Next week, hopefully and Lord willing, we will be live. But if not, it will be freshly recorded. Until then, thank you for joining us. May God bless you. May God keep you. This has been the Light of Truth radio broadcast. Gino, it's all yours.
All right. I'd like to remind you that our website is handofhelp.com. Again, it's www.handofhelp.com. And there you can find our materials, DVDs, CDs, books, etc. And also, if you would like the Hand of Help newsletter, you're welcome to email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com. And we will be happy to put you on our mailing list so that you can get our ministry newsletter. Again, we will put this program on YouTube. You can also listen to it on the Blog Talk website and let your friends know about it as well. We would also be interested if you have comments on the broadcast. Many of you do listen to it on YouTube. Feel free to leave comments under the comment section. Continue to keep us in prayer. And continue to pray for, of course, the situation in our country, as Mike spoke about. It's perilous times, as Timothy says, in the last days will be perilous times. And we're definitely there. And the Bible every day is being more and more played out in the news because we know what the warnings have been given about the United States. And the message that God gave Dimitri Dudeman, which I would urge you, please check out the message, Wake Up America. It's in track form or DVD form. And a very powerful message that God showed Dimitri, very relevant for this hour that we're in as well. So we want to thank you so much again for listening to the Light of Truth broadcast.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.